Now, Singapore Today with Lance Alexander and Daniel Martin.
Now, a recent report you just saw yesterday, a traffic police officer had allegedly accessed the computer systems at work without authorization. Why? He wanted to get some information on a police report made against a friend. I can see this already. I mean, allegedly, this could be like the friend said, hey, help me out, can you see where I got this file or something like that? I mean, I understand.
But it goes against what you as a traffic police officer should know better.
Yes, because not only isn't it professional ethics, he's being charged with breaching the Official Secrets Act, or the OSA, which is something that people in his position would have to sign and be a part of the job scope. And this is coming amongst many other charges. Quite serious, right, if he's convicted of this?
Yeah, it is. If convicted of breaching the OSA, the traffic police officer, Shiva Surya Maniam Kasaval faces a jail term. Oh. The trial is still ongoing. So let's get more with Noel Teo, Associate Lawyer, GJC Law. Noel, welcome back to the show. When we saw this piece of news, we thought of how we, you know, Daniel and I as employees, might unknowingly breach the OSA. Mm-hmm. So maybe you can tell us what are some of the possible scenarios where employees could breach the OSA.
The OSA is a law that prevents the disclosure of official information and documents. Generally, it is people who work with the government or in the government, and they are required to sign the OSA. And the usual ones would be, I think at least from the news, would be wrongful communication, meaning that they share confidential information without an authorization. This could include photographs, documents, notes, or even videos, drawings, like that. I think sometimes it could be a knowing thing, like this person who actually accessed the computer and went to share with his friend about this information. But there could also be unknowing matters where, you know, somebody could have taken a photo of something and then posted on Instagram, and there's something just in the background that happened to also just be there as well. That could also be a breach of the OSA in certain circumstances. I think as long as you have been entrusted in confidence over certain information as part of your duties, then you are bound to keep that in confidential. But if you do release it or discuss it in a certain way, it may cause you to breach the offense, the OSA.
Which job scopes have OSA? Yeah. It's quite a wide scope of jobs. You would know. It will be very obvious. It will be made known to you. Yes?
Yes. So just a bit of background. I used to work for the government as well.
So quite familiar with OSA.
Yes. So once you actually join service, you are actually reminded about the OSA, and you know that this is something that you are bound by. Mm-hmm. And also people who work with the government, such as contractors, for example, if government bodies engage data specialists, computer specialists to help to work with us, things like this would, you know, require you to be bound by the OSA.
So would it be made known to you regularly? Because, you know, some people say that I worked there for 30 years, I forgot.
Yes.
Like,
so
you have to re-sign it every year or something like that.
No. There is regular training. And I believe most of us have to go through, you know, courses and training regarding the OSA as well as sensitivity of information. And in fact, a lot of the documents are classified in different sensitivity and different classifications so that you know what is, you know, officially open, what is secret, what is confidential, what is sensitive, what is non-sensitive, things like that. Government, people who work for the government are required to learn all of this, and, you know, they are taught all of this things that they need to classify all their documents, and there are specific things that we are requested to do as part of government service. So, for example, there's something called a clean desk policy. You mm-hmm. have to clean your desk every day because you may be able to see a certain document, but your colleague may not be able to see a certain document.
Right.
And someone may walk past and see this is also considered disclosure.
Alamak, I thought it was just hygiene. Like, make sure the coffee mug is not there.
I guess it's now even more delicate because with the use of smartphones, with the use of laptops or desktops that can take pictures as well, you have to be extra careful when it comes to actually thinking it's safe going to take a picture of something and then you're going to read it maybe when you get home. If someone hacks into your phone, it's not good, is it?
Yes, so I believe many of us have there's also this rule that you cannot use personal device for work. So your own thumb drive, your own laptop, iPad, you may think that, oh, I'm just going for a trip, I just want to read through the document.
Yeah,
No.
right.
So if, for example, you're traveling
And
as
you're
part
on
of
the
government
plane
work,
and you're reading it in
yeah.
front of everybody, how?
Yes. Usually if you're traveling, you will get a clean laptop. So it will be sent, cleared of most things. You only get certain information there. But like you said, on the plane you're reading, sometimes people discuss something at coffee shops, they talk to their family members and it's overheard, or they take meetings on the phone. So things like that, you have to be very, very careful. People who are bound by the OSA all know this. We are taught to be discreet. You always review before you send or share anything. Make sure that you use secure devices. So even thumb drives that we use are secure devices. And of course, attend regular training to keep up to date. So don't use the excuse where I've been working for 30 years and things have been working this way. And of course, 30 years ago, there's no such thing as thumb drives.
So what if you overhear a conversation? Maybe this person forgets and is talking on the phone and mentions a few things, and I overhear and I tell someone, am I in trouble?
You mean if you're working there or
No,
if you
I'm not
just hear
working
it in public?
in a coffee shop or on the plane and I hear a conversation. But I say, oh, I can act on this conversation, and I tell my friends about it. Am I in trouble for this?
Okay, sharing of it is receiving this information could also be a problem because if you notice that case, the other person is actually charged with receiving confidential information. He's not even the person accessed and shared it, it's the person who received it. And of course, if you're saying I'm just sitting in a coffee shop, if you just hear it, then maybe just take it as, oh, I know this is confidential, just not talk about it. I think the short answer for a lot of this is as long as you know this is something that could be sensitive, and if you know that things, I think common sense in terms of confidence, you do know certain things cannot be shared, certain things are sensitive, then try not to share. But of course, it may be very juicy, but
But
as much as possible.
is the repeater who received the information in a public environment technically liable for sharing secret stuff?
I believe there was a math case where the person, actually, the people who forwarded pictures were also charged as well. So it really depends on how the prosecution looks at the circumstances of it, but and how you receive the information, how you share the information, why you share the information before they actually decide whether or not you will be prosecuted.
Is the format in which how the information is received and shared critical as well? You talked about the pictures issue. Again, Lance and I were talking about this. We remember during COVID, there were situations where,
Yeah, someone was
healthcare
revealing
staff was revealing
numbers.
numbers of COVID, and that was something that we started talking about as well. And that was screenshots, I remember, or texts and messages. But what if it's not screenshots or texts or messages? What if it's verbal?
Okay, for government agencies, so for that employee, I believe, she was working for the ministry at the time, and most of the time in the ministry, certain information are received first because they are embargoed information. I believe in the media you receive that as well. Embargoed information which you are not supposed to share.
Correct. Strict
And
embargo
her sharing,
guidelines.
yes, there are strict embargo guidelines. Similarly for the media, similarly for the ministry. The reason why, ministries may get it earlier because they may need to do certain preparations. So if you are using all of this information that you receive as the course of your duty and then you are sharing with others because I want to tell my husband so that he can be prepared. But things like this is very sensitive and you can also get in trouble because it is an official secret.
Yeah, because whenever the budget gets released as well, we're put into an area where only a select few can get in, and we've got to sign a document because sometimes we get this information before the Minister of
Announce
Finance,
us, yeah.
announces it to Parliament and to the rest of Singapore. So we're very careful of things like this. So other than Noel, other than the Official Secrets Act, what are other laws or regulations that we also need to be aware of that we may take for granted, but actually could end up in a lot of trouble for actually revealing some of this info?
Generally, it will be official secrets, but there are
Right.
also other laws such as Internal Securities Act, or I believe some of the other people who have access information would also get charged under the Computer Misuse Act. There's also cybersecurity regulations. Personal Data Protection Act, things like this are very sensitive. And even if you are not working for the government, you are also bound by, of course, the common law of confidence. And I believe many, many companies get their employees to sign non-disclosure agreements, especially if they are working in businesses.
So banking sector, legal fraternity, that
yes,
kind of thing.
Yes, and of course, legal fraternity, we have the law of God. We also are bound by confidentiality. It is one of the professional ethics that we have to be bound by. Yeah.
Medical practitioners and doctors and clinics, I would assume as well?
Yes, I believe there was a case where the ambulance driver took a picture of a dead body and was also charged for official secrets.
Oh, wow.
Gosh, that's vile. So that's under official secrets, right? It's not under a medical, a separate yeah, medical.
I believe the person was working in government adjacent kind of company.
Ah, okay. So one of the main reasons we wanted to have this chat with you, Noel, is we wonder whether people might not realize they are bound by such agreements or acts or issues because, you know, it's I get it. It's so easy. Your friend says to you, like, hey, I don't know whether I got any other traffic violation. Can you check for me? Not check your system. Ah, okay. Like, it's just a commonplace thing. Yeah. I'm in the system every day anyway. Okay lah, I check for you, that kind of thing. Is it possible that somebody doesn't realize that their job scope has such a requirement?
I would say no, especially because if you work in governments, it is, like I said, it is always drilled into you. You know what is the official secrets. You know that you are not allowed to share certain information. And I think the short answer, like I said just now, is whatever that you had the benefit to only because of your job and it's not public information, it is common sense, or at least for most people who are aware of their regulations and the duties that they have, that this is not something that they should share. Because, I mean, you can't Google whether somebody has a traffic offense. So it's not publicly available information and you are only able to get it because you are a traffic police.
And then you also have got to log on to one motor and find out for yourself. Like.
Yeah, that's why exactly.
You know, the interesting thing is this individual can end up in more trouble than the person he was trying to help at the very start.
Yes.
So when it, Noel, when it comes to punishment as well, does it mean that there's only one sort of jail term, one sort of fine, or maybe a bit of both? Or it also depends on the severity. Sometimes people can actually see many, many years in jail because of what they've actually disclosed to the public.
It depends. So for most of the offences, so for example, wrongful communication, the law states it's a fine not exceeding 2,000 and imprisonment for a term not exceeding 2 years. But of course, it depends on the number of charges. How many times you shared, how many information that you shared, depending on the number of charges. Of course, if it's something more severe, like you're spying for a foreign government, then that will be definitely more severe. Right. That means you obtain secret information and you share with a foreign government. And of course, like people who work for the military, they are very aware that things like this can be shared.
So that's the severity aspect. Obviously, it depends on the situation. But when it comes to who is liable because of signing the Official Secrets Act, obviously, the person involved, the person who's working for the agency or the government agency or the police agency or the medical fraternity, let's say. But what about the requester, the person who asked for the information? Are they also liable?
Yes, the person who solicits the information is also liable.
Oh, okay. I want to quickly talk about the non-disclosure forms that you mentioned. Because sometimes, I mean, are they regularly used, non-disclosure forms and agreements?
I believe it depends on certain professions. Some professions, they do require, especially business, banking sectors, or whether they, you know, some of these companies, or even sometimes it could be just within your employment contract, there is certain confidentiality requirements that you are bound by.
Is that legal? Like, I mean, what if a company just on put inside? Cannot, right? Do you need a lawyer to ratify or to verify, or can a company just put in, this is the non-disclosure clause?
No, this is a contract. So when you enter into a contract with someone, this is between you and employer.
Okay.
And of course, most employers would have their own legal teams to review these documents. Mm-hmm.
Sure. And what happens if someone profits from some of the information that's being thrown about?
Yeah. So if it's, for example, if it's official secrets, definitely be, you know, criminal prosecution. But if it's the NDA and somebody benefits, you may be sued for damages. You may be investigated again, suspended or dismissed from your job. I mean, there are cases where people get civil claims because they shared certain information, causing a loss to a company, things like that.
Yeah.
Well, this has been exactly what we wanted to chat about. Thank you so much for helping us understand this better.
No worries.
Noel Teo is an associate lawyer from GJC Law, joining us on Singapore Today.